Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, I was praying about tonight, asking the Lord exactly where he wants us to go. And what he said was, we need to dig into 1 Corinthians 14. You know, I've been kind of hitting it a little bit here and there. And what is 1 Corinthians 14? Let me give you some background for just a moment before we get into this. And say, first of all, on Wednesday nights, what are we studying? How to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Why are we studying this? Well, because the New Testament church, and you see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, he says, every one of you, when you come together, you have a psalm, you have a doctrine, you have a revelation, a tongues, an interpretation. And so what he was doing was, he wasn't discouraging the use of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. What he was doing was, he was just giving instruction on how to do it orderly. And he was talking to the church at large. He wasn't talking to ministers. And so the focus there is that the church should be involved into bringing something with them, or that while they're in the congregation, the Holy Spirit comes on them, gives them a gift, gives them a revelation, a word of knowledge, whatever it is. And so that really the body of Christ is about each one of us. See, Ephesians chapter 4 says each part of the body has a supply of the Spirit, and that supply of the Spirit ministers to everybody else. And, you know, as we go out and minister and go about our daily lives, we want to hear the voice of God so that we can be a blessing to others. Well, if we're not willing to step out in the safety and in the comfort of our fellow believers, we're not certainly not going to step out when we get out there in the workplace or in the world. Amen. So that's what Wednesday nights right now is all about. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's start in verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, if you'll back up a verse, you'll see now abides faith, hope, and charity, or love. I'm just going to use the word love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, see, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is sandwiched right in between where he's talking to the church about how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and then chapter 12, where he's describing what the gifts of the Spirit are. So it's not like Paul was schizophrenic or, you know, kept chasing rabbits. It wasn't like he said, I'm starting with the gifts of the Spirit, and now I want to spend a little time talking about love, but now let's go back to the gifts of the Spirit. He really has this overall thought that he is trying to create right there in these three chapters, okay, chapters 12 through 14. And so here he's saying, Now that I've expounded on how important love is, and we're not going to take the time to do that, what he is saying is follow after love. Before you stand up to speak in the church, make sure that love is your focus. You've got to understand that, you know, what's going on in a lot of Pentecostal churches and around the world and throughout history is described in verse 1 of chapter 13. Let's look at that for just a moment. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, he had just gotten through talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And I have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. People get excited when they start speaking in tongues, when they get the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time in their lives. But that's just the beginning. That's not the end. They think they have arrived, but they've actually just taken off. And so what happens is people will get stuck in these gifts. They'll get stuck in speaking in tongues, and they'll get stuck in words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and they'll get stuck in the areas of healing and all of those kinds of things, but they'll forget the foundation and what's more important, and that is the love that is behind it.
Amen.
And this is the reason why churches have had problems with their congregations flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. I was talking to Andrew Womack some on Friday about what we were doing on Wednesday nights. I was bragging on y'all a little bit with Andrew, and just telling him, you know, and how I believe that our church needs to be, that the church has to go back to a New Testament church. It has to, pastors need to trust the people that are sitting in the congregation. They need to grow them up. It's not about just the pastor teaching. It's about the body of Christ growing up and walking in the gifts of the Spirit. And I was telling him, I said, so this is what we're doing on Wednesday nights. We're allowing people to step out and flow in the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, That's awesome. Yeah. I was trying to get that Texas accent in there. He said, it can be a little messy that way, which is true. It can be a little messy that way, you know, because you have people that step out and they go too far. Right, Craig? No. Craig's my example. Come here, Craig, for just a moment. You know, come here. Craig, the very first night, you did what Peter did.
I drowned.
No. I am not even focusing on the end of this. Now this is you just provided another illustration for me. See, this is why I want y'all to know this is about being safe. It's non-judgmental.
That's right.
Because when I think about what happened the very first night that we did this, and Craig stepped out and gave a message in tongues and interpretation, the only thing I'm focused on as his pastor is, man, you got out of the boat.
That's right.
You stepped out. You stepped out.
Absolutely.
I'm not even focused on the fact that you felt like that you went a little bit too long. A little bit, you know, went a little bit too far.
Absolutely.
That is not important. What's important is you stepped out.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm using this as an illustration to encourage you. Even if a mistake is made, don't focus on the mistake. Focus on the boldness that you stepped out and be thankful for what has just happened. So the reason I had you stand up is because I wanted to call you Peter. You stepped out of the boat. And you walked on the water. So I thank you for that. And I'm just encouraging you. That was awesome, man. And it's going to go from there higher to higher to higher things. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what it's about. It's, you know, we can have fun with each other and all of that, but we're not, you know, if we make a mistake, we're family. We're part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, there are some other things that the Lord's kind of given me. First of all, when it comes to operating in the gifts of the Spirit, you need to make sure that love is your focus. Now, let's go on. We're going to see something kind of interesting here. Follow after charity. Follow after love. Always follow after it. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, Paul is about to demonstrate to us why love is so important. But rather that you may prophesy, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Amen. Now, get that first. It's a very definite thing. Every time that you speak in tongues, you're not speaking to anybody else. You are speaking to God.
Amen.
For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And so what they were having in their services is they were having some people get up and prophesy. They were having others get up and they just speak in tongues. You've been to these services where people just get up and just speak in tongues all the time and all of that. And that's okay if you want to do that. I mean, we've done that on occasion and just prayed in the Spirit, and that's okay. But Paul has a bigger purpose behind what he's saying here. So he was trying to create some order. And so he says, but he that speaks in an unknown tongue does what? Edifies himself. Now, that's just real important that you just get for your own personal lives. See, some people say, well, speaking in tongues and all of that, that's gone the way of the disciples. Well, you know what? I don't know about you, but if you've been around in the world today, I still need to be edified. I still need to be built up. The gifts of the Spirit have not passed away. Jesus said to the disciples, stay in Jerusalem till you receive the power from the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be able to be witnesses. So he did not want them to go and to witness and to testify of him until they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And somehow, some churches think that God wants us to witness with less power than the disciples had. It's not that way at all. God wants us to still walk out in the boldness and the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, look at verse 5. He said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that you all speak with tongues. It's my desire that everybody speaks in tongues. But rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except that he interprets that the church may receive edifying. Mm-hmm. Now, I always had a little problem with the scripture. As I've been reading through it for the last few weeks, I'm thinking, in the kingdom of God, you know, everybody's equal. You know, I mean, why do you want to start saying, well, this person's greater than this person? You know, because doesn't that create envy and strife and jealousy and all of those kinds of things? I try not to do that. And so when he says greater is he that prophesies than he that is speaking in tongues in a church service, why did he say that person is greater? Because he's being used of the Lord? Because he's helping somebody else? Say that again. Everybody can understand him. All those are good answers, and all those are right answers. It all goes back to that first verse. Follow after love. Follow after love. Because the person that is prophesying is doing it for the benefit of others and not thinking about himself. His focus is on other people. When you're speaking in tongues, you're just focusing on yourself. You're just building yourself up. And Jesus said there was this little conversation going on amongst the disciples about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus said, he that would be the greatest, let him be servant of all. A servant's heart, serving others, blessing others, walking in love towards others. What's most important from Paul's perspective, what was most important in his life, in his ministry, was what can I do for the benefit of others? And so what he was trying to say here is, for the benefit of others, I'm saying, don't spend all this time speaking in tongues, but rather make sure that whatever you're doing is benefiting those that are by you. And when the church comes together, and when the church doesn't come in just for themselves, and I think sometimes we have a tendency to only come to church for ourselves. And I believe that this is the reason why the gifts of the Spirit haven't really operated in the way that they should be operating, because the church doesn't come in with an intent of being a blessing to others. You don't have to shout me down for good preaching. Because, face it, most of the time when we come to church, we're only doing our religious duty, and we're not thinking about others and what can we do to be a blessing to others. But when you start getting your eyes off of yourself and start allowing the love of Christ to flow through you. And so on Sunday morning, when you come to church, you get up and you think, God, how can I be used to be a blessing to my fellow brothers and sisters in the body today? Father, what can I do for them? And you get your eyes off of you. Man, that's where the love of God, it starts working on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit can use you, and the Holy Spirit will cause you to start being used towards others. Hallelujah. And that's why it's important that he says, follow after love. Now, see, a church is not going to have problems with its congregation getting up and wanting, you know, to see how cool they are and what kind of revelation that they have when the church is taught to love one another.
That's right.
You could stop on that revelation right there. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for that. So he says in verse 6, now, brethren, I come unto you speaking with tongues, or if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? In other words, you got to play the notes right so that you'll understand the music. And if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise you, except you by your tongue utter by your tongue words that are easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I'm going to ask, well, Brad, I was going to use you. Can you come up here? You can bring courage with you. Don't leave your courage behind, brother. Take courage. Take courage. And let's see. I need somebody else here. All right, Trey. Come on. You may not be happy with this one. Brad's going to tell you about his day.
Okay.
And then what I want you to do is I want you to explain to us how his day went. Okay. Brad,
yeah.
You got to do it in Spanish.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Entonces, lo que pasó, que hoy trabajé por mi mamá, con mi mamá, y ahí estuvimos tratando a cerrar unos archivos para propiedades aquí de bienes y raíces. Y encontramos muchos retos, muchos problemas para pagar todas las cosas.
Okay.
Hice muchas llamadas y muchas prácticas con gente que no quiere hablar.
Okay. As he was saying, he was telling me that his day. Day, he said, you know, he had talked to his mama on the phone, or as we call her, mama. Is that what you're saying? He was like, much, you know, problems, but, you know, it was all, you know, bits and pieces.
So I think, thank you, fellas.
I got a good bit of it.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Trey's like, you did good. Why? Because Trey didn't do so good. This is exactly what Paul is illustrating. He said, if people come in talking a different language, if I have no understanding. See, there's a kind of there's a teaching that I've heard that, you know, that people say, well, it doesn't matter if they understand you or not. Your spirit is communicating with their spirit. Well, that's not what Paul's saying here in 1 Corinthians 14. He's saying you need to understand what is being said. Now, this is very important. In Proverbs, the Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. But with wisdom, get understanding. So, in a church service, what you're seeking to do is to be used to the benefit of others and to say it in such a way that they understand this. Now, I'm going to I knew this was going to happen. I wanted to get all the way through 1 Corinthians 14, but that's not going to happen tonight. I'm stopping there. Let's go over to, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Last Wednesday, during the service, I said that people would get revelation knowledge, words of knowledge concerning, we were talking about the name of Jesus and the power and that the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus and that people would get things regarding that. And so I had a couple of people afterwards say, well, this is what I got. For instance, Hannah was talking after the service and she said, I didn't really get anything to share, but what I got was the scripture. Do you remember the scripture, Hannah? I believe it was Philippians 3, 8, and 9, but check them both out and then come up here and share it with the people. y'all didn't hear that. She goes, oh, man. See, this is, yeah. Hey, Brad, we need to start passing your baby around to give people courage. Yeah. If you didn't know, his child's name is Courage, so which is awesome. But this is the thing: the gifts of the Spirit aren't given to come tell the pastor after the service, well, this is what I got during the service. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the benefit of everybody else. Okay, and so we have to step out in some things. So, Hannah, did you find the scripture? Yeah. Can you come here, please? You can sing it too. I don't care. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Selena after a service and she said, I didn't get anything except sometimes I get songs. I said, then start singing a song. That's exactly what it says. Hannah, I would like for you to read this.
Okay. Philippians 3, 8, 9. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith.
So right there, let's stay here for just a moment.
All
right.
Do you want to...
No, that's fine. That was Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Now, I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's very easy to sit there and to think, what I believe that the Lord has given me is not deep. It's not, you know, it doesn't seem important. It doesn't, I don't know that anybody would get blessed by it. And in Hannah's case, what she got was a scripture that had to do with who Christ is. And just being obedient and saying, I don't have anything to say, but this is what I believe that the Lord gave me, this scripture. By standing up and by sharing that scripture, there's something in there for somebody.
Amen.
And so being used, the gifts of the Spirit, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, isn't a 5 or 10 minute dissertation necessarily. It is, God gave me this nugget. And I want to share that with you. That's a way to be used. So thank you, Hannah, for being bold enough to stand up here. And thank you very much. I say that to say that sometimes we seek the deep things. And when we seek the deep things, we miss what God is trying to say. Let me think about how to say this. Early on, when I was in my early 20s, I was always looking for the deeper revelation. I was always looking for something that when I shared it with people, they would think, wow, look what he got. Yeah. Don't look at me that way. You've done the same thing. Okay, no, maybe I'm the only one then. But, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, you kind of want that sometimes. And so I was always looking for something deeper and deeper. And what happened was I got off into error because I started lifting scriptures out of context and putting them together to form this great and wonderful doctrine that I thought that I was only person in the world that's ever seen it before. Anytime you think that you're the only person that's ever seen some kind of a revelation knowledge, it's probably not from God. Because the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. And I promise you, over the last 2,000 years or 4,000 years, God has been pouring revelation and revelation on people. And so when I realized what I had done and that I had moved over into error, I stepped back and I said, okay, God, what I'm going to do is, as I study the word, I'm going to study it from the perspective of Paul and Peter and John, those that wrote it. I want to make sure I understand it the way that they meant it. And I do know that there is deeper revelation. I'm not saying that there's not. But I felt like that what was working for Paul and Peter and John was working pretty good. And if I understood what they understood, then God could take me into something deeper, right? And so what it did is it gave me a foundation as I started studying the word and making sure that I understood and I started getting revelation, the same revelation that Paul got concerning the mystery of the gospel of God. I started getting revelation concerning what faith really was. I started getting revelation of how I should conduct myself and how I should walk in love. I started getting revelation, the revelation that Jesus himself deposited into Paul was starting to get deposited into me. I mean, Paul was with Jesus. I mean, Paul was by himself for 3 years studying this stuff out. And he said, I did not receive this from any man. He did not go to the disciples and say, okay, tell me all about Jesus. He found out about it from Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit gave him revelation knowledge concerning the mystery of the gospel and what the kingdom of God was all about. Hallelujah. And as I started reading it from that perspective, then the same Holy Spirit that revealed it to Paul and Peter started revealing it to me. Never be moved away from the simplicity of the gospel. It is so easy. The kingdom of God has been given to us. Jesus came to redeem us from everything that was under the curse. Hallelujah. And now he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. So you may not have a deep revelation, but somebody will be benefited from what God gives you. Amen. Amen. So that's the teaching for tonight. Now, it's time for us to allow the Spirit of God just to kind of move among us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just stand for a moment. Now, there are a whole lot of other things that I was going to say. But the Holy Spirit said, stop. Now, this is a time for you to be bold. This is a time for you. I mean, as right now, the Spirit of God is going to start depositing things into people. Right now, let's just start praying. If you want to pray in the Spirit, that's fine. This is not, at the moment, this is not the time that you're looking to not pray in tongues just because of what I just taught. But you can edify yourself. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So just start praying. Let's just see what the Holy Spirit does for just a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, thank you for wisdom. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for doctrine. thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Right now, the gifts of healing are in operation. If you're sick, if you've had any pain whatsoever, come on up here right now. That is available. It's always available, but right now that gift is in operation. Hallelujah. If you're dealing with anything, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, pain leave. In Jesus' name. Everything made whole. Glory to God. Is it just when you swallow or when you sing or what?
When I sing.
Tight? I'll be loosened up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.
A numbness and tingling going up and down this room.
Mm. Well, in Jesus' name, whatever's caused the numbness and the tingling, we command it to leave. Perfect feeling, every nerve restored. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can you tell the difference? It's fading. It's fading. He that started the good work will complete it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's gone. She says it's gone. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of revelation. Even while I was sharing, I believe that the Holy Spirit deposited some things into some people. Maybe just easy, simple words. So be ready to step out. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Sitting there in my heart, I jump out. Been listening to Mary Friend's tape lately. God's really working me. And I was listening to it coming back from Gadsden today. And she was saying that Jesus was at a festival. And he got to the end of the festival. He said, "All right, I'm through. It's up to you." And the disciples said, "No, it's not up to us." And Jesus said, "I have provided the food. It is up to us now to take the food and take it out."
Mm.
Now, it's not, we're not giving out just food, but we need to give out the Spirit.
Yes.
So that just touched me. I wish, and I'm bad on Bible verses. I wrote it down because I'm not a truck. But that verse just hung out there with Mary Friend saying, Jesus is the teacher. He's given out the food. We got to just give it out.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Amen. Amen. Just in the same way that Jesus. Brad, you got something? In the same way that Jesus gave the food to the disciples, said, "Now you give it to the people." That revelation right there is that he's given us the supply of the Spirit. He's given us the Word. And he said, it's not just for you. It's not just for you to eat by yourself. See, the disciples could have taken that food and said, "Okay, let's just keep it between us." No, it's for us to take out of what we have and to give to others. And as we give to others, there's an abundance. There's an abundance they took up more than they gave out, which means that the more you give out, the more supply of the Spirit you're going to get for yourself. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, I just, you know, Pastor, I just kept thinking about that verse you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago in 1 John chapter 3. It says that, you know, if you see a brother who has a need, and it says you have the wherewithal to meet the need, then just meet the need. And what just the word that came to me was, is when we follow God, it's just very obvious. That sometimes I think, at least I do, we make it, can make it very mysterious, you know, that it's good, but it won't be, even if it's not something that is as tangible or as real as you look at someone and say, oh, they have a physical need. But to you, it'll be obvious.
That's good.
To you, it will be because of the gift of the Spirit that's God's trying to operate through the love for another. You'll see something and you'll just go, I see that. And you may not know how you see that or why, but you'll see it. And so just trust that what God wants us to do is very just obvious. He's not trying to hide it from you. He's not trying to make you on an Easter egg hunt. He just says, there it is. So go do it.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. That's good. We want the heavens to be opened up and visions laid out for us, or either a great big voice saying, go do this for this person. And what Brad was just sharing, and I mean, it's a good word, is that when walking in the things of the Spirit becomes a lifestyle, then you just know things and you just see things. And it's not the great, you know, the great manifestation out here. It's what's happening in here. It's that still small voice, but you become so used to it that everything that you do is directed and it's guided by God to where it's just a way of life. And that's what a believer should be doing. Glory to God.
When you were talking about that, we need to keep, get yourself out of the way and focus on the Word of God. When we are focusing on the Word of God, we're not ashamed and we come boldly. And it's not all about us. It's about Him. It's not how many people are listening. Mm-hmm. It's not about who it is that's listening. It's not whether they look like they're paying attention or not. When the Bible says, when you speak oracles of God. Mm. And when you're doing that, it's going to go right where it needs to be. So we don't need to focus on how many. We don't need to focus on who it is. We just need to focus on what the Word of God says, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listening to Him, because we're going to say exactly what we need to say to who it is. We're in the right place at the right time, and we say the right things.
Amen. Amen. You see what the Holy Spirit's doing here? See the first word about Jesus gave it to us. Now He said, go out. The second word is that as you go out and you, it will become obvious by the Holy Spirit, the things that you need to give to people and help people with, and the supply of the Spirit. And then the next step now is when you're doing those things, just focus on what God has said to do in His Word, not on the person that you're talking to, not how many. Make sure you get your eye off yourself and keep your eye on God. Now, see, I couldn't have orchestrated that if I tried to on my own. But the Holy Spirit knows what we need to hear. That is just awesome. Glory. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Well, come on. I got two people. All right, let's go Becky first, then Pat.
I'm one to, when I start off, I've got to start off in the Spirit. And I was reading this translation, just what you had, the scripture you were on. It says, when we speak in tongue, we speak to the Father. We're speaking to God. And this is what I do. And it, when I know that I've got to speak to someone or something, is I connect with my head connect to the Father. Mm-hmm. And the way I connect with the Father with my head and with my heart is I go in tongues. And I'm quitting. I'm not going to hold it back. I've got to go in tongues. And we are the body of Christ, and we go in tongues. And let's just go in tongues for just a second, because I got to connect. And that's what I'm talking about. We just connect. So, Father, I want to Father, I'm listening to you. I'm hearing your voice. I'm knowing your voice. And, Father, no other voice I follow, but I'm listening to your voice. So, Father, I'm connecting with you right now, Father. Oh, Father. Oh, my people. Oh, how precious you are to me. I love you dearly, and I love that you're stepping out for me. Praise your name.
Hallelujah. That's good. So, see, for her to connect was to do it that way, and it became a tongues and an interpretation. That's a gift. And what a precious word from the Father. He loves what's going on. He loves us stepping out. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
This is increase, people. This is increase. Every week, it's getting better and better. Father, we thank you for your presence. Hallelujah.
I just want to edify us a little. The things we've been hearing about stepping out and feeding. You know, Jesus, he came down and he said, I only say what the Father said to say. He was operating as a man when he said that. So that's how we operate. The same way he did. And we stay in that place where we only say what he says. Now, you know, it tells us in Galatians that it's not us that live, but it's Christ that lives in us. And that's where we're at. Now, in Isaiah 55, I just want to read one thing here. And he's talking about his word. And he compares it to the rain, and he says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from the heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth the bud, that he may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Now we know in Mark that the sower sows the word.
Yeah.
Now you sow the word. You hear a lot of people talk about sowing cars and sowing money and sowing all kinds of stuff like that. But the sower, as far as God's concerned, the sower sows the word. And in that word, in that seed, is everything to bring it to pass. That's where your confidence is in that seed. It's not in you. You know, Peter, when he grabbed that man's hand and raised him up, and they came looking at him, he said, it's not because I'm holy. It's because of faith in the name of Jesus. Well, the name of Jesus is the Word. That's the same as saying you had faith in Him. You know, if you got the right name, you go write it on a check. It works real good. See? That's faith in that person. Well, it tells you in there, he's saying, well, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. Now, when we speak His word, we realize that it's not us that live, it's Christ that lives in us.
That's right.
And we believe that the things that we say shall come to pass. Mm-hmm. We're speaking life. We're putting seeds in whoever.
Yeah.
And the power is in that word. It's not in you. It's not because you're holy. The power is in that word. And it says right here, it will not return void.
Amen.
It's impossible for it not to perform where he sent it. And it's not him. See, you're saying what he tells you to say. So he's the one sending it. Get it off of you and put it on him. And it's so easy to walk in that place.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's good. That's good. Say again, get your eyes off of us. We're putting our faith in the right place.
All right, so I don't do this very often, but this has been on my heart for the past couple of weeks. And we've grown up with the verse on Matthew 17:20 about having faith as a grain of mustard seed. Well, I was reading this a couple of weeks ago, and something kind of jumped out at me, and this is when the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And I'm going to read verse 19-21, and it says, "Then came the disciples," I'm going to read the out of the Amplified, "Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, 'Why could we not drive it out?' And he said to them, 'Because of the littleness of your faith, that is your lack of firmly relying trust. For truly I say unto you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you.'" But this is what jumped out at me. "But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." We think that just because we read verse 20, but our part is to pray and fast for our growth in faith. We can't just expect it all the time. We have to have our part. We have to pray and we have to fast in order for our faith to grow. So that's what he...
That's good. Talking about a lifestyle. A lifestyle.
Amen, amen.
Peter and I'm going to... Here you go. Yeah, go ahead. No, Jennifer's like, "No, I don't want to say anything. No, I just want to hold the microphone for you." Okay. All those good words tonight. Good words. Peter and John said, we need to give ourselves more to prayer and ministry of the word. It's a lifestyle, you know, and the more you do that, the more what fasting and prayer does, it just puts you in that place where you're with God and you're focused with him. And so that's the things that just causes your faith to grow as you stay in that place with him. Amen. Let's pray. Glory to God. Father God, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's just lift up our voices and sing for a moment. Lord, we give you praise. Jesus, thank you for your word. We give you glory and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Holy Spirit. One more time. Jesus, oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. Jesus, Father, we do praise you. Lord, we just pray that you continue to increase, that you continue to give us words, to give us that the Holy Spirit will be poured on us without measure in these meetings in Jesus' name. That your glory shall be revealed. That people's lives will be changed, Father. And that what we're learning here on Wednesday nights will be taken out into the marketplace, will be taken out to our families, will be taken out to our friends, Father. And that we'll get words of knowledge, words of wisdom, that we'll have insights, seeings and knowings, and know exactly how to minister to those in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Give them a praise offering real quick. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Every week gets better and better. Amen. Amen.